Nerd Soul.
Oh yeah, Lay Ill Kid at One Young still holding down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell. Let's go, because we got Ninja Kamui to start off with. And let me tell you, my brother, it was a Bunsen burner up in there. Woo-wee. Now, we did lay Emma to rest, and we did get some kind words about her being laid near those who loved her, who cared for her, who cherished her, appreciated her, things of that nature. And it was great because at first Higan is like, yo, ninjas don't have hometowns. We don't have, like, when we die, we just die. So, you know, it kind of goes further to the statement where he was talking about, you know, I saw the look on her face. She knew she was loved, kind of thing. And it's just nice to close that off, especially since I think Emma should still be with us. I would rather Emma still be with us, and then the computer guy, he be gone. But, you know, look, is what it is. I ain't writing this show. But I did want to give a shout out to the actual laugh from Higan and the term ducky poo. It's like, come on, ducky poo. Now, Mike did put his hand on Higan's shoulder. He looked at him real quick, like, all right, we ain't that close. But y'all, look, y'all close, all right, Higan? Y'all about close as y'all gonna be? I mean, dang, come on now. You know good and well, ain't nobody else up in here right side by side fighting with you, just like you, Mari, and, you know, the Reaper back in the day. Now, Zai or Zai or the Reaper, either one. Now, we'll talk about that in a second, but I do like that Higan is opening up to actually having help and having a partner. Because remember, at first, he was like, I'm alone. I do this on my own. I'm a man, and I'm by myself. I'm a lone warrior. But now he like, yo, look, I got help. And, you know, everybody need help sometime. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with getting help. You know what I'm saying? You can do more. You can do better. You can move faster when you got help. That's what it's all about, man. Get some help. Now, with that said, we have some parallels in this episode that I think are pretty awesome. Parallel between Mike's journey to a certain degree and Higan's journey, because we see them having to reconnect in some way, shape, or form with their past partners. And with Mike meets up with his old partner. He's like, look, I know you dying me out. I know you working for Alza. I got this information. You going to give it to him, because I know deep down, deep in the cut of that soul and spirit of yours, there is, all right, still the man that trained me and fought side by side to bring justice to citizens and keep them protected from corrupt and criminalistic individuals, all right? But he was like, no. I'm down with Alza right now, all right? We represent Alza Records, all right? And he was calling, snitching on him quick. He was like, 999, Alza, hey, look, my boy over here, or my ex-homie over here, come get him. Now, he lucky, because I thought that scene was going to play out differently. The way I would have played that scene is him basically sitting in his car and be like, look, I know you dined me out. I already know you part of Alza, and I know the agents that's been working with you, they Alza too. And then from when they were showing that shot from outside the car, you would have just heard a gunshot and a little splat on that driver's side window, and he would have got out of the car. Now, that's what I was thinking was going to happen. It didn't happen, but in this case, at least now we know there's a line drawn in saying he can't trust nobody at the FBI right now. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, it's looking like everybody dirty. And it's because Alza done flipped everything. They got all kinds of people in Congress, people in the media. I mean, they threw up this, quote, terrorist attack and put all their faces on the screen. You got Higan up there. Where they get these pictures? I mean, I guess Alza be like, we got everything, baby. They had headshots of everybody. You know what I'm saying? Look, like, I'm like, how they get all? Well, I mean, I guess the employee, they already had his photo from, like, you know how you take a picture to get your badge to get in the building. So, you know, they had his photo. And I guess Emma and Mike's photo must have been easy to get, because, of course, they already paid off FBI agents, so they can just snag those photos off their own intranet or whatever. And then Higan, maybe they just stole that off of, like, a surveillance photo when he was killing a whole bunch of people. But they ain't no terrorists, man. See, y'all the bad guys. But see, like he said, like the computer man said, all these, you know, journalists, they ain't no journalists no more. He said, what we need to do is put this on TikTok. Well, he ain't call it TikTok. It was fake TikTok. But he was like, all right, what you do is you get a busty woman. And Mike was like, nah, I ain't trying to hear all that. Just look, we gonna get down to the bottom of this. We gonna stop these folks and we gonna be good. Another thing that I think, and let me know what you think about Yamaji's plan. I think I know Yamaji's plan now. Yamaji's plan is to essentially let Mr. Alza do all the work, right? And then just kill Mr. Alza and assume the responsibilities and just be in control of the world. At least that's what I think. Because it seemed like in this episode, it seemed like he's more like, yeah, he's almost dead. And once he get there, chitty, chitty, bang, bang. But Mr. Alza, he cracking. He's like, just let me do what I want to do. He's out here whining like a baby. Man, come on, man. Mr. Alza, you can't be cracking like this. He out here, look, he was kind of hardcore at first. He was like, y'all gonna do what I say. Now he's like, why can't everything just work out for me? Man, why you sounding like some preteen that like upset about, I don't know, their birthday party not going right or something. Look, if you're gonna be in the game, there's gonna be ups and there's gonna be downs. Alright, it's how you handle them downs, alright? Cause it ain't always gonna be ups, alright? I'm just letting you know, no matter what it is, it ain't always gonna be on the ups. Alright, I know Target got the brand called Up and Up, but they ain't always gonna be up and up. It's gonna be up, down and up. And maybe a up and up and then a down again. Look, it ain't always gonna be rosy. But the basis of the episode, the foundation that we get is the background of the Reaper, of Zai. And seeing how he was, I guess, in some kind of like human trafficking, child trafficking stuff, because it was him and a whole bunch of kids in a jail, and men were like, I don't know, I guess selling them off or whatever, because they was locked up for something. And the way he attacked the man that went in to feel on him, I guess there was pedophiles too, I don't know. So went in to feel on him, he bit his finger. Then after getting out, all he did is just continue to stab, and stab that man. So I'm pretty sure there was a lot of abuse there. You know what I'm saying? Not only for him, but the other kids. And of course, Yamaji saw that aggression, saw that sort of, I guess you could say that angst and that anger and that rage built up in him. And was like, he's going to be a great trainee. He gonna be perfect because he crazy. Well, I mean, he wasn't crazy. I mean, the dude was abused, and I mean, this is kind of like a the fallout from that. So he brings him in, and we see now that he's training, and we see these philosophical differences between himself and Higan, especially when he's essentially just beating down this other trainee. I mean, like Higan said, like, bro, you've already won. And I mean, I've been in a similar situation where this guy was, he was bullying this other kid, and I was like, all right, man, he's had enough. Like, you've proven your point. You're stronger than he is, and you're cooler than him and all that. You know what I'm saying? You've kind of proven that point. And him, expressing his ninja way towards Higan, and Higan back saying, like, yo, look, we're here to be working as a team, and we see that later on. But it's like, you know, we see that you've won. He knows you've won. You know you've won. Like, now, this is just barbarism, you know what I'm saying, to a certain degree. And seeing them rise above that training class, seeing Zai look at Higan as like a true rival, at least for a little bit, and then them going on to their first mission together. It's Mari, Higan, Zai, and basically having to switch up and throw an audible in super fast because, of course, they were sold out. Now, Yamaji was talking to the other master like, yo, this is, yeah, I set them up. I set them up because I want to see how they work. And I love that even though Zai went out on his own, and, you know, Mari and Higan could have been like, psh, all right, but they stayed and they held his back and they made sure everybody came home together. And then them teaching him, like, look, stupid, we're a team. They sent us on the mission together. If they wanted you to go by yourself, they would have sent you by yourself, dumb. All right? And just showing them work together over the years in that montage, showing how close they were for him. And then, of course, that conversation with Mari about the Crows, and then finding out why he's so close to Crows. So I can see where Reaper's head is at, considering Mari and Hagan, because not only have you betrayed the ninja way, which is essentially my whole way of life, but you've also betrayed a friendship. I've lost this friendship that I had with you two. You had become my family to a certain degree. And you know, they were breaking bread. And you know how it is when you break bread with someone and they betray, that's a whole different level. Like if somebody do something wrong to you and you don't know them, you're like, hey, look, I don't like that dude, I'm mad about it. But when you break bread, when you let someone into your house, when you do that and then they betray you, that's a whole different level. Then they got to pay. They got to pay. So we get a scene similar to the one when he saw Hagan save Mari, where he had that look on his face like, are y'all closer than, you know, what you thought? And now we see the scene where they finally leave and they come to Zai like, yo, look, we're leaving. You know, we've broken the code. We're leaving. And of course, Mari is already pregnant. And Reaper saying like, look, you're going to have to kill me, because if not, I'm going to kill you. And it shows how much he loved them and how much he regarded them by not even, like, he didn't even push them or anything. They just walked by and he didn't make a move. And that, I think, broke, like, that cup or that cup that they were drinking out was symbolic when it broke. I think that broke, either that broke his spirit or his belief in the family that he had, kind of like his kind of found family. You know, that broke, and that was the crack in the foundation. And then after that, it was pretty much over. Like, he wasn't trying to hear nothing after that. And I don't know. I don't know if I say a good job. I still don't like Reaper. But now I can see where he's coming from. You know what I'm saying? I can see his position and being like, yo, I thought we were cool. I thought we were supposed to be together. And I can also understand... them saying like, yes, we are still together, but our relationship will change slightly. Like, of course, they didn't come to him to kill him, but they're like, yo, we still care for you. We're not mad at you, but we have to go on a different, we got to go on a different path now. It's like, maybe you have friends and y'all go to different schools. It's not that y'all hate each other. It's just that maybe y'all don't spend as much time with one another, so y'all aren't maybe as tight or as close as you were. Or it could be a situation where, shoot, y'all could be apart from each other for 5-10 years, and the second y'all get back together, it's like no time has passed. Like, y'all are just that tight. So I get Zai's point, and I see where he's coming from, especially his background. You know, they sort of gave him a family and then also took it away. And then, of course, with his only other familial kind of, relationship was with Yamaji as his sort of surrogate father. That's not the best influence. So, yeah, man, we end up with him finally challenging him, similar to what we saw in the last episode, the preview for this episode. And we get into it and we get into this fight and we are going to settle the draw that they had so long ago. And... you know, Reaper being like, stop pulling back. Give me everything you got. These little tricks aren't going to work. And when they go to that final punch and their fists connect and the force is so crazy that it blows the suits away, I was like, yo. Even the flipping back and forth between Yamaji and, man, look. Zai and Hagan, bruh, look. Choice. Also, real quick before I jump off of this, seeing Hagan and Zai in their youth reminds me of the thoughts or the wanting of a prequel to Cowboy Bebop, where Spike and Vicious were cool and we got to see that time with them together. I would have always thought that was cool. Like a little mini series, maybe like 10 episodes just to see kind of a period in their life where they were still cool and seeing them work together. I thought that would have been cool. But back to this, I enjoyed the backstory. I enjoyed the fight at the end. And now, since it's nothing but just, you know, one-on-one, no suits, no frills, no tricks, just hand-to-hand, face-to-face, man-to-man, yo, it's going to be dope. Because, of course, Higan said, I can't move forward without facing my past. And then Zai said, I'm going to use your blood to wash my past clean. Whoo, now that's what I'm talking about. So, well, man, I'm hype about this. Let's talk about Ninja Kamui. But I guess next we can talk about Windbreaker. And as far as Windbreaker goes, I really just have one thing, because we talked about it in the anime-ish. So I really only have one thing to say about its premiere episode. And it's that I think that this is a character I can get behind. You know, when I look at Windbreaker and I see like the action and stuff, I think it's dope. But Haruka is a character that I think I can get behind as far as, you know, his outlook on life, how I think he's going to end up finding that, you know, that family, that respect, that appreciation, that admiration, that community that he's been missing for so long. I think he's going to find it here with, of course, Furin and his classmates. I think this is something that could end up being one of my faves this season. Similar to how I ended up liking Jim Woo so much in Solo Leveling. I think I'm down right now with Haruka. He's really cool. I like the action. I like the fact that he's not against. I mean, of course, he's fighting back a little bit, but he's not against, I guess you could say, proper treatment or respect or any kind of positive attention from others. It does. He is foreign to it, but he's not against it. You know what I'm saying? So I like that about him. And I think this is a show that I can stick around with. I can't wait to get the next episode, because this is one that I'm like, okay, here we go. We got a little heat. The fight scenes was on point. And of course, you got this town that apparently there's no police here. They just left it to the high school kids to protect the town on your own, buddy. But yeah, that's pretty much how I just wanted to jump in real quick and say that Windbreakers, I think it's got me. I think I'm gonna stick around for this one for the rest of the season. It's got the style that I like. The voice acting is cool. I'm feeling the struggle that the young man has already went through, because you know it's about the struggle, man. The man he already done went through the struggle, so you know I got love for him. You know, he out there, he just wanna find the strongest. He like my man Goku. He just want to find the strongest, man. He's just out there in the struggle. So, yeah, I think that's how I feel about that. Windbreaker, just checking in real quick. I know we don't have a brand new episode yet, but I wanted to say Haruka is my guy right now. He's cool. I can roll with him. And I'm going to put him in the list with all the others that I like. You know what I'm saying? I like my boy Jin Woo. I like, of course, Kamado, stuff like that. I got love for them. You know what I'm saying? Luffy, all them, Goku, throw them in the bucket. You know what I'm saying? Those are my folks. We down with them. But I did want to hit the new episode of Go Go Loser Ranger, because the main thing here is a large revelation with Suzukiri, and the fact that she brought up that there was kind of like conspiracies that the Rangers were essentially faking all of this stuff. And there wasn't really any danger. I like this. I like this for Fighter D. I like this for Fighter D because we get an unlikely ally and we don't know this ally's goal. We just know that, or I guess we know the goal, we don't really know why. We know she wants to take down the Rangers just like Fighter D does. And we know that she's known that Fighter D was a duster for at least since I can't remember the guy's name, was hugging him, and it, like, his cheek cracked a little bit. So her saying, like, yo, it's good that you were able to keep your composure, things of that nature. I'm here for it. I really am. I'm here for it. I think we're going to get a good time with this Go Go Loser Ranger. I'm not a huge fan of the intro or the outro, even though the outro does have the fun dancing. But one thing I do like stylistically is, like, when we got close to Blue Ranger's mouth when he was speaking, just the crazy amount of detail in the facial structure and the facial expression, at least from the kind of cheekbones down. Also, the energy that we get from the dusters and how it's slowly changing. Because, I mean, of course, they're essentially slaves right now. And they're being, I mean, they're hostages, man. They're prisoners of war. They're being forced to, like, dance for their, not even their supper. They don't have nice things. Like I said, they don't have no chairs or couches or beds or nothing. They're just up there in a cave. And, of course, the Red Ranger and Blue come up there and they're like, yo, where's that fighter that try to ain't going with the program? And I understand their side. They're like, yo, look, y'all know what it is. We won, y'all lost. But there's a level of evil corruptness in it that I do not like. And I want them to go down. I ain't going front. 2 episodes in, I'm like, nah, man, y'all got to go down. I don't like these Rangers. Even though they do look cool, and the artifact looks cool, when he gives Fighter F, he meaning the Red Ranger, gives Fighter F a true death, I did like that. That did look cool. But I also felt bad for Fighter F, because these guys are essentially in prison for whatever. You know what I'm saying? And they're not even given, like, a slight bit of privacy. Like, of course, with everything that went down with Fighter D, they come up, they're like, oh yeah, so now we're going to have people monitoring y'all at all times. Which, I mean, I guess I get it from their perspective, because they're like, look, we ain't going to have no uprisings up in here. So seeing that unlikely ally, seeing the energy change around the actual dusters, because not only was it Fighter F, but we also see one of the other fighters jump up in Red's face when he's like, yo, what, y'all gonna have people up here, you know, monitoring us or whatever? Where's our privacy? So this is something that we at least haven't seen or heard of before this show started, where they were kind of like fighting back. We kind of just saw them saying, hey, we just take it and that's what happens. So now we have a different energy up there, which I think is something that the Rangers should take note of, because you can't just beat people down all the time and then expect them to be okay with it. You know what I'm saying? Even though you are stronger than them, I guess one-on-one, I mean, they do technically have the numbers on y'all. And they could keep coming from that fortress, I assume so. If you, like, say if you hit them and you dust them, they could, I guess, essentially just keep coming back. Or they could come down and impersonate others. I mean, like, think of the power that Fighter F or Fighter D has, or any of them have. They can impersonate someone and they could commit, you know, some serious atrocities in the name of other people and create mass panic. Like, you got to be very careful about how you treat these fighters, because let's say they just decide to go down there and, say, you know, impersonate a congressman or a senator or a governor or, you know, even someone that's, you know, some big company guy or whatever, and start throwing around allegations or starting stoking flames between this and that group. Or they could do something where they, you know, they start, you know, impersonating family members and taking out whole swaths of families and stuff like that. This, you know, you have to be careful about those that can shapeshift. You got to be very, very careful with that. I think they might be a little too arrogant, especially for the abilities that the fighters possess. You know what I'm saying? But this is another one where, you know what? I'm gonna stick around. I like the style of the name tags coming up and then people pushing them out the way, similar to One Piece on Netflix. I like that where like the little one imposter comes up and they like push it out the way and stuff. I enjoy that. I think that's a cool stylistic piece that's added to this that, you know, just makes it a little more irreverent, a little more whimsical, a little more fun, even though there are cool fight scenes. So I want to see how far this conspiracy goes because it seems that the trainees don't know. So I guess you don't get read into this until you're a actual keeper. So yeah, we'll see where this one goes, man. I'm digging it. So holler at me on this. Let me know what you think about Go Go Loser Ranger. I'm down with it. I'm definitely going to stick around. So to wrap all this up, I'm going to talk a little bit about the mid-season trailer that X-Men dropped. Marvel, they on their comeback mission. Like I said, man, this X-Men 97, boy, if X-Men 97, if Kevin Feige came out and said X-Men 97 is indicative of the work that we're doing to bring Marvel back, to, man, look, see, that's what, if he was a showman, see, you know what? Kev done lost a little bit of his flavor. Remember when he used to be coming out on the stage, he had the cap on, he had the little, that little snapback. Nah, it ain't even a snapback. That's one of them little joints where they got the little metal thing, tightening in the back. Look, he used to come on stage, be talking about this, what we gonna be doing for the next 30 years. Now he got all soft and everything. He saw that stuff from, you know, your boy Daredevil told him to shut that down and start again. He ain't had his flavor. See, he should have came out on, if he had the wherewithal, he would have came out on the morning, all right, of a Thursday after that Wednesday and said, this mid-season finale of X-Men 97 is indicative of the work that we're putting in to enhance the MCU for you, so much so that right behind me is the story team that has brought you this amazing first season. They will be helming the whole arc and introduction of the X-Men to the MCU. Bruh, look, it'd be over. There'd be dancing in the streets, flowers and stuff, you know, rose petals and stuff falling there. But he ain't listening. I be trying to tell him something, he ain't been listening. But I do want to give a shout out to Chase Conley, the rest of the team, voice acting, the in-betweeners, everybody. Anyone who's putting any work on that, man, from the stories to the voice to the, you know, the ADR to the animation. It's crazy. But let's talk about this trailer. There's a couple statements I want to go over real quick. So they showed the Sinister part and he says, you know, like, you have no idea what we have in store. And I remember him making that statement and I always thought that we would find out by now who the we are, but we still don't know who we is. And right now on top of my list, like I said in the last show, I'm looking at, what is it, Cooper, the UN chick. I'm looking at her sideways because every time she round, here comes some stuff. So I'm looking at her sideways. I'm assuming that we is like Sinister, her, and another person. Now, I mean, I guess it could be four. It could be 10 people. But I'm thinking him, her, because I don't think she who she say she is and someone else. I don't think she Mystique, but maybe. But I don't think she Mystique. I think she's someone else. Someone else we just don't know. But I don't trust her. She might just be a human that just don't like mutants. You know what I'm saying? She might just be a hateration, all right? And it's some holleration. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Up in this dancery, we going to get our retribution. You best believe that. Now, the next statement. What is it? It was the doctor. It wasn't the dude that was in jail. I can't remember his name. But he said, while you've been holding hands, we've been placing dominoes. This statement alone will go a long way to any preventative measure from here on out. With statements like that from any villain in any show or movie, from now on, I don't want to hear nobody talking about how militant I am. Because the people that don't like us, this is what they be doing. They be like, oh, while y'all were holding hands, we was placing dominoes. While y'all was holding hands, we was over here doing something wrong. And we was over there doing something underhanded. See this? Nah, 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 nah. From now on, you doing your forms every day. From now on, we chopping blocks every day. From now on, it's your push-ups, you running laps. From now on, we doing target practice. From now on, we keeping tip-top shape. And from now on, we keeping tabs on all y'all. I'm putting cases on all you. Look, all I'm saying is from now on, you best believe I ain't hearing none of it. Michael, nerd, so you too militant, brother. You too. Nah. Cause see, our enemies, they organize. You know what I'm saying? And they know how to stay in the cut and make us think things is cool while they planning. So while they planning, we gonna be planning. Alright? We ain't gonna be just chilling while they planning. Alright? I ain't gonna say no names, but people was out there dancing in the street like everything was over, but I'ma let it go. You know, can't tell people nothing. You know what I'm saying? Who am I? But then the statement from DaCosta where Sunspot's like, do you think there's really gonna be a war? And it's like, yeah, I do. Cause these people ain't done. These people ain't convinced. They're not gonna let it go. It's similar to like in Star Trek Discovery, Tarina. I can't remember. Her and Saru about to get married, right? And Duvin is he's talking to her about the Vulcan purists and how they, you know, they're dangerous and they're crazy, and them getting married could be an issue. And yeah, you gotta think about that. Now, don't get me wrong, I like Tarina, and I hope I'm not screwing up. I think it's Tarina, but it could be T'Pring, but I think it's Tarina. I like Tarina. I like Saru. I like them together. But you do have to consider that you have some Vulcan purist extremists that you don't know if they're going to try to blow something up or do something. So yeah, when you got people that's crazy like this and you don't stomp them out, then guess what? Yeah, there's going to be a war because they ain't going to stop. And here's the thing. Here's how I know it's going to be a war, bruh. All right, DaCosta, check this. They fight y'all. Nothing happens. They attack a mutant. They don't go to jail. They do this. They're slaps on the wrist. You know what I'm saying? They say all kinds of crazy stuff on the news or TV about y'all, and nobody really checks them. It creates a whole culture and atmosphere that coddles their anger and aggression. And when that thing is coddled, it's allowed to grow, to fester, to metastasize. And they gonna think that since there's no consequences to the crazy stuff they doing about you, that they can take it a step further and a step further and further. And you best believe that attack on Genosha, if there ain't, you know, pretty much heads rolling right now, if all they gonna do is say, what a sad day it is, too bad for those mutants. Oh, well, I guess we'll just have to hold hands in the National Day of Prayer. All it's going to make them do is become more emboldened. Look, it's time for y'all to squad up. Cyclops, you know the deal. Where Prodigy at? We know where Bishop at. Well, now Bishop done gone to the future, so Bishop can come back now. Where all these people that we could be using right now? I mean, shoot, we talk about time. Where Rachel at? Where Legion? Because we got some people that could, y'all can have a real bad day. All right? Y'all keep on messing around. So, yes, I do think it's going to be a war. I think we're going to end this season on a war. And I don't think this war is going to be resolved by the end of this season. I think the end of this season will be the beginning of the war. I think season 2 is going to be crazy. But last thing is the beautiful voice, the powerful words of Storm that says, we face this as we always have together. And when she says this line, we see Captain America's shield. Now, I'm not against this being a time travel part because we got Bishop, we got Cable. We've seen time travel already. But I think this is a now cap. I think, all right, with her saying we face this arts we always have together, I can see Cap being like, no. They ain't gonna do my friends like this. Y'all stand with the Avengers. The Avengers stand with y'all. We ain't letting this stuff go down. I can't see, similar to the Krakoan era and stuff, I can't see the Avengers just being like, well, I guess everybody's getting massacred. Well, I guess we're just going to kick it up here in the Avengers mansion. What's up, Tony? How's it going? No, I have a feeling that if this thing jets off like these crazy dudes is trying to make it jet off, then yeah, Cap gonna step in, Black Panther gonna step in, Tony gonna, whoever, they gonna step in and be a, because they're like, yo, we stand with the X-Men. We ain't gonna let them go down like that. These people have saved, you know, from, you know, alien invasions, you know, crazy robots killing people, all kinds of stuff. They've been here. They've protected U.S. dignitaries. These people deserve to be here just as much as anyone, regardless of who they have or haven't saved, because they're citizens in the first place. So, yeah, I think this is going to be not a time jump or not a time travel episode or I guess, scene or whatever. I think this is Cap now. I think when she says, we face this together, I think that the X-Men will finally rally up and they will find that they have like-minded, you know, fellows right beside them, shoulder to shoulder with the Avengers. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that the Avengers are going to, you know, step in at some point. Now, of course, not steal the show, but step in at some point and maybe help out in a mission or something like that, because Cap ain't just going to let this stuff happen. Like, I mean, imagine if, on a smaller scale, say you have someone who's a friend of yours, because there are intermingled friends with the X-Men and Avengers. There's people that have served on both teams. So imagine you seeing something devastating going on with one of your friends. It's apart from you. You think you ain't going to call that person? Come on now. You're going to be like, yo, man, you all right? Yo, I just saw this crazy stuff on the news. So do you think Cap ain't hit them up? You think it ain't been like, yo, I just saw this. What's going on? What do y'all need? You know what I'm saying? I don't see a world where, if we're saying Cap is there, because we're already saying that this is essentially the same world. This is from X-Men 90. I mean, this is the 90s series. So this is the same world where Spider-Man, where the Avengers are, all that. They've already done a crossover. So I don't see that world where, you know, Cap is just like, whatever. You know, Spider-Man's just like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you know, it must suck to be them. No. When she says, we face this as we always have together, I think it's going to be the X-Men bonded together with other mutants that may not have been the most popular or the most, most consistent X-Men. All of them together and some allies that, you know, are part of the superhero community. But let me know what you think. I'm excited for this Wednesday. I'm excited, man, this season. Ooh, Lord, they are coming with it. But of course, NERD, SOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, podcast, all that jazz. And until the next time that you have to hunker down and train to make sure that you're ready for anyone who might be trying to set up dominoes in your life, we're just saying peace. Like